cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hop hop, Easter's on his way.
What are you doing this year for Easter, Rashi?
I think I'm gonna punch a bitch.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Well, everybody's gotta have a plan.
Well, maybe dye some eggs and hide some jelly beans. Wouldn't that be a little more appropriate for Easter?
I suppose, but it wouldn't be as fun as punching a bitch.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. This is Paul Dini.
And this is Missy Lee.
And happy Easter, I guess. I think we're going to have to lock Rashi in the closet for another holiday.
You know what? It won't be any different than all the other holidays that have gone by in the past 4.5 years.
Not as long as he can find a saw somewhere and break out of confinement.
Hey, that's pretty. What is that?
Well, in honor of it being Easter, I thought it would be fun to do another jukebox and with the theme of Easter eggs. And as we both like Disney music, I went through our record collection and got some obscure Disney songs that we're going to pepper throughout the broadcast as our Disney Easter eggs. This is the Easter Egg Jukebox. And that song is called My Favorite Dream, which was written by Bill Walsh and Ray Noble for the obscure 1947 Disney feature Fun and Fancy Free. It's a song the harp sings during Mickey and the Beanstalk to distract the giant. Mm-hmm. And this is an instrumental version of it, but it's just sort of nice and pleasant. You know, mm-hmm. you don't hear it that often and hardly ever outside the movie. And that's the theme of this podcast. In some cases, the songs will be familiar but sung by different artists. In other cases, they may be completely new to our audience. We've got a few that just never made it into the movies for whatever reason. So join us on our musical tour of the Magic Kingdom's back alleys. No princesses or talking tow trucks this time around. This one is the Disney of the once-heard songs and cartoons they don't run anymore.
Yeah, it's the good stuff.
Let's kick things off with another one from Fun and Fancy Free. The title song, in fact, which was sung by the Dinning Sisters. They were a popular singing group back in the 40s, and Walt was fond of using them to sing in some of his shorts. Here they are singing...
Fun and Fancy Free?
Yeah, the Fun and Fancy Free, exactly, the title song.
My troubles are on a 52-week vacation, starting now. No tricks, there's nothing to it. Just follow my example and you can do it, starting now. Be full of fun and fancy free. That's the way I wanna be. I don't let my troubles trouble me. I'm fancy free and full of fun. Got no time to worry none. I'm too busy singing in the sun. If you should have a chronic ache, pills won't make you strong. The only tonic you should take is a teaspoonful of song. So if you'd really like to be happy, lucky just like me, crown your frowns, my friend, and you will see that you'll be full of fun and fancy free. Bubbling over with, bubbling over with vim and vigor and vitality. That's the way I wanna be. Don't let my troubles trouble me. Fancy free and full of fun. Got no time to worry none. Too busy singing in the sun. If you'd really like to be as carefree as can be, happy, lucky, just like me, crown your frowns, my friend, and you will see. You'll see that you'll be free to have the fun you fancy. You'll be completely full of fun and fancy free like me.
was cute. You know, that, and that's what people usually think of with Disney. They think of cute. They don't really think of action adventure, or they never really did in, you know, prior to I guess modern times. It was all the cute stuff. But
he had some manly heroes, though, didn't he?
He sure did. You know, he there are a few, and I guess this would be called the manliest hero of them all, and that would be Ned Land, as played by Kirk Douglas in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
So what song are you going to play?
Well, there's no other better song to sing than Whale of a Tale, which is by Kirk Douglas himself, proving that, yes, he could sing it up in a Disney movie.
Nice.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads. A whale of a tale or two about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Mermaid Minnie, met her down in Madagascar. She would kiss me anytime that I would ask her. Then one evening her flame of love blew out, blow me down and pick me up. She swapped me for a trout. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads. A whale of a tale or two about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon about. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Typhoon Tessie, met her on the coast of Java. When we kissed, I bubbled up like molten lava. Then she gave me the scare of my young life. Blow me down and pick me up. She was the captain's wife. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads. A whale of a tale or two about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo. There was Harpoon Hannah, had a face that made you shudder, lips like fish hooks, and a nose just like a rudder. If I kissed her and held her tenderly,
held her tenderly,
there's no sea monster big enough to ever frighten me. Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads. A whale of a tale or two about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
Nothing like a little sea chanty there to get the blood stirring. Now, a favorite of mine, and I know that you and I watched these a few years back when they came out on DVD, The Scarecrow of Romney Marsh. I thought he had the best theme song ever, even better than Zorro's.
We have an enormous poster from this show that sometimes hangs in our dining room. It's huge. It's orange.
Yeah.
Big black frame.
Yeah, Dr. Sin usually comes out around Halloween. That's a good time for him. And when I saw this when I was a kid, I thought this was so much like Batman. The Batman show hadn't even started running yet, but I'd read the comic books, and I go, man, this guy is cool. And when the Batman show came on, he was still a lot cooler than Batman was, but a lot of fun. Anyway, here's his signature theme song.
Scarecrow, scarecrow, the soldiers of the king fear his name.
Scarecrow. On the southern coast of England, there's a legend people tell of days long ago when the great scarecrow would ride from the jaws of hell and laugh
with a fiendish yell.
With his clothes all torn and tattered, through the black of night he'd ride. From the marsh to the coast like a demon ghost, he'd rob the rich, then hide, and he'd laugh
till he slid his side.
Scarecrow,
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 the soldiers of the king feared his name. Scarecrow,
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 the country folk all loved him just the same. Scarecrow, he would always help the farmer when there was no gold to bring. He'd find a way for the poor to pay the taxes of the king. Scarecrow,
every man would sing. So the king told all his soldiers,
hang him high or hang him low, but never return till the day I learn he's gone in flames below for your tank. With the great scarecrow, scarecrow,
scarecrow,
scarecrow,
scarecrow,
the soldiers of the king fear his name. Scarecrow,
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 the country folk all loved him just the same.
Scarecrow.
Great song. I mean, they never talk about riding from the jaws of hell in Tinkerbell videos or
no,
anything
they don't.
Like that. You want to maybe go to the jaws of hell after watching one. I don't know. Anyway, continuing on with our Manly Men theme, we've got a song sung by our old friends, Riders in the Sky.
Hey!
And this is the theme song of Mike Fink, King of the River, who was a friendly adversary who showed up in the Davy Crockett episodes that Walt did.
Oh, is this the version where Too Slim does Mike's part?
Yes.
Nice.
He reached way down there. Too Slim is usually up here. Oh. How you doing, Ranger Doug? But he went way down here to be Mike King, King of the River.
I'm Mike Fink, King of the River.
Listen to the thunder, hear the winds roar. Hurricanes are coming. Board up the door, load up the cannon, call out the law. Worstest calamity that folks ever saw. Girls running high, brave men shiver.
I'm Mike Fink, King of the River.
Oh, he's a ringtail roar and a tough old alligator. Oh, he's a bull-nosed bully and a real deep populator. Oh, what a deep-diving catfish that always comes up dry. He's gonna live forever, born to mean to die.
Dug the whole Ohio with my big toe. Filled her up with water, made the critter flow. Stomped out the valley, scraped up the ridge. Wade across the river, cause I don't trust no bridge.
Invented earthquakes, made mountains quiver.
I'm Mike Fink, King of the River.
Oh! He can out-talk a lawyer, scare a witch into a faint. Oh, he can out-shout thunder and their sons say that he came. Oh, what a fighting devil, he'll spit right in your eye. He's gonna live forever, born to mean to
born
die.
To mean to die.
Oh, that's great.
They're so good.
Yeah, he really knows how to sing them. They're fantastic.
And they're nice too. I know we've talked about them a lot on the podcast, but they are just amazingly kind, wonderful, talented men.
Wonderful gentlemen.
Yeah.
And if you have a chance to see one of their shows, you go on their website and see where they're coming near you. It's an evening well spent to see Riders in the Sky wherever you can catch up with them. Rounding out the last of our manly men on this list, it was just St. Patrick's Day. We can't let the day, just about half a month ago.
Yeah.
At this point.
I was going to say, hey.
Any time of year is good for this. You know, not only did Walt Disney get Kirk Douglas to sing, he also got Sean Connery to sing, which is almost as great a feat as creating Mickey Mouse. And sing Sean Connery did in the movie Darby O'Gill and the Little People. And here he is singing a lovely Irish ballad before he goes off and beats the neighborhood bully to a bloody pulp. Just
so
to prove.
Before James Bond was given a license to kill, Walt gave him license to kill leprechauns.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Jesus.
And to beat up the local bully, because that's a great bar fight at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the seagulls fly in all the heather? All the crimson sails on Galway Bay, the fishermen and fur. Oh, the earth is filled with beauty, and it's gathered all together in the form and face and dainty grace of a pretty Irish girl. Oh, she's my dear, my darling one, her eyes so sparkling, full of fun. No other can match the likes of her. She is my dear, my darling one, my smiling and beguiling one. I love the ground she walks upon, my darling Irish girl.
Okay, now I'm going to veer off a little bit and tell a weird story about this next song. A while back, and I told the story to Henry Gilroy because he thought it was funny, because he was working on House of Mouse about 15 years ago. And I had come up with a pitch for the show that I actually never made to Henry, who was producing the show, but I did make to some of the other folks involved with it. It didn't go, but unfortunately, here's what I'd come up with. They were looking for short musical bits to put in the show, which featured Mickey, you know, running a nightclub with various Disney characters, and there were musical numbers. And I had heard an old album called Louis Prima Sings Mary Poppins. This was actually an album that came out around the time of Mary Poppins' release that Louis Prima made sort of as an audition for Walt to show he could do family stuff because he was up for the part of King Louis in The Jungle Book. And they thought it would be a fun tie-in. And there's this one sequence where he sings the song Stay Awake, which in the movie is a very nice lullaby that Julie Andrews sings to Jane and Michael Banks before going to sleep. And I went in and I had this whole pitch worked out. And the pitch for the cartoon was this. It's like, let's do an animated version of the Banks children. Very stylized. We see them in bed and they're waiting for Mary Poppins to tuck them in. And suddenly this orangutan just smashes through the window holding a ruined umbrella. And it's like, hey kids, Mary Poppins got the night off. She sent me in her place. And then you just go to a record drop of King Louis singing Stay Awake and putting the kids to bed and, you know, washing them and scrubbing their faces, and he's using his arms and feet at the same time. And then the old admiral who lives next door, you know, spies in and thinks, you know, the wild man of Borneo has been unleashed on the house and bombs the house, all while King Louis is singing and the kids are just, you know, running from the flames and devastation.
I can't imagine why Disney wouldn't have gone for this.
Well, the reaction was sort of that Springtime for Hitler look of like, And at the end, Louis grabs his ruined umbrella and just flies off. And I thought it was a fun cartoon, you know, how audacious.
Dead Jane and Michael smoking in the bathtub.
Yeah, and one of them said, I hope Mary Poppins comes back tomorrow. And I thought, wouldn't that be funny? And it's like, got no reaction at all, other than I was asked to leave. So
I should say.
Anyway, here's the song that
inspired. Enjoy the song, everybody.
Yeah.
Stay awake. Don't rest your head. Don't lie down upon your bed. While the moon drifts and the skies, stay awake, don't you close your eyes. Stay awake, don't rest your head. Don't lie down upon your bed. While the moon drifts and the skies, stay awake, don't close your eyes. Though the world is fast asleep, and though your pillow is soft and deep, you're not sleepy as you seem. Stay awake, don't nod and dream. Stay awake, oh, don't you rush your head. Don't lie down upon your bed. And while the moon drifts in the sky, stay awake, don't you close your eyes. Though the world is past the sleep, and though your pillow soft and deep, you're not sleeping as you sleep. Stay awake, now stay awake, don't rest your head. Don't lie down upon your bed, Baba Dada boy. While the moon drifts in the sky, first day we wake, won't you close your eyes? Stay awake, lie down upon the bed. bed, they pulled your buzzers, buzzers and gray. The moon drifts in the skies.
This next song is by the Bonzo Dog Band. They were popular in the 60s, and that actually, some of the guys from that actually wound up writing the music for Monty Python. I think Neil Ennis was a member of the Bonzo Dog Band, and they did a lot of great stuff, including rediscovering this old Disney song from 1935. This actually is an old Disney song, but Mickey Mouse had just been newly created, and they weren't sure what they were going to do with him. So the idea of giving him a marrying him off to Minnie Mouse and giving him a son and a daughter was not all that audacious.
Mm-hmm.
I think once the Mickey Mouse watches and toys began to sell, they kind of realized, whoa, let's rethink this a little bit. And they began to clamp down on what Mickey could and couldn't do. But back at that time, here he is as a proud father in Mickey's Son and Daughter.
He'll present a golden dollar to the father of the twins. The preacher's eyes are glistening, and he's thinking of a christening. Cause the stork has brought his son and daughter for Mr. and Mrs. Mickey Mouse. A million, million people are happy, bright and gay. Bells are ringing in the steeple, it's a public holiday.
I do remember this song. I remember that a lot of people hated losing the song because it was so beautiful and moving.
Yeah, but they thought that he'd be better as like a streetwise thief type, and then they beefed up the role of his awesome monkey.
Yeah, well, you never can go wrong if you give the monkey more to do.
Yeah, give the monkey more screen time. Always a good idea. Hey, anyways, this is a nice, pretty song.
Yep, it's called Proud of Your Boy. Yeah. Something I hope to be one day.
Proud of your boy, I'll make you proud of your boy. Believe me, bad as I've been, love, you're in for a pleasant surprise. I've wasted me. So say I'm slow for my age, a late bloomer. Okay, I agree. I've been one rotten kid, some sun, some pride, and some joy. But I'll get over these lousing up, messing up, screwing up times. You'll see, Ma, now comes the better part. Someone's gonna make good, cross his stupid heart. Make good and finally make you proud of your boy. Tell me that I've been a louse and a loafer. You won't get a fight here, no, ma'am. Say I'm a gold brick, a goof off, no good, but that couldn't be all that I am. Water flows under the bridge, let it pass, let it go. There's no good reason that you should believe me, not yet, I know, but someday and soon I'll make you proud of your boy. Though I can't make myself taller or smarter or handsome or wise, I'll do my best, what else can I do? Since I wasn't born perfect like Dad or you, Mom, I will try hard to make you proud of your boy.
You know, Walt Disney never really threw anything away. He kept people working with him for years, and, you know, like animators who started with him in the 20s and 30s. He moved over and had them design Disneyland. He reused ideas. Sometimes he would abandon a story in the 40s, and like he worked on The Little Mermaid in the late 30s, and then it sat on the shelf for years, and they revived it, you know, nearly 60 years later to make the feature out of. He did the same thing with music, and when he did the music for the 1964 World's Fair, George Bruns, who was Disney's lead composer at that time, composed a really nice piece called Serengeti Serenade, which is very exotic, has a kind of a tropical Trader Vixie type feel to it. Walt liked it a lot and hung on to it and used it as the overture to The Jungle Book, which he made about 4 or 5 years later. And here it is in kind of a cut-down, reworked version, but it's still instantly recognizable to anybody who's ever seen The Jungle Book. Serengeti Serenade. Thank you.
So during the break, you were saying you wanted to go out west for the next couple of them, huh?
Yeah. You know, Disney did a lot of western pictures. I mean, it's got all of Frontierland. That's at least a quarter of his output is things that deal with the... with either American history or the American West. And
what is this one, From Home on the Range?
Yeah, I know. I know you didn't like the movie very much. I think I remember you saying you took Calla to see it and she wanted to leave.
Yes.
Like about 10 minutes into it.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, well, I
can I see your phone?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's like the worst movie review ever is, can I have your phone?
What, that movie had kind of
it's
a...
time to go.
Yeah.
When the kid wants to play on your phone in a cartoon, fail.
I remember a good 10
it
years.
It had some good characters in it, though. I mean, there were a few things about it that were redeemable.
You know, a friend of mine, you know, that I used to have brunch with in a group of writers and comedians, was actually working on that picture a good 10 years before it was released. And at the time, he said it was a real fun kind of boys movie about a bull who is rustled and then decides to get even with the rustlers. And it was called Sweating Bullets. And
that's cool.
And it was a really cool idea. And then it went through the usual story development.
Somebody said, you know who's popular right now? A Roseanne Barr and Rosie McDonald.
Yeah.
Let's make them into talking cows and replace the cool movie with the one that sucks.
Rosie O'Donnell. What was it?
Both of them, wasn't it?
No, it was Roseanne Barr and was it Judi Dench?
I think Judi Dench did one of them. There were three.
Judi Dench and Jennifer Tilly, I think, might have done the other one. It was like a ditzy one, the Roseanne one, and then the uptight one. And and I think that was because some executive saw some of those California cheese commercials with contented cows, and they thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny to write the movie about them?
Well, it wasn't.
And no, it wasn't.
It was a really bad idea.
Yeah, I think a good movie could have been made out of just the horse who wants to be a hero and the wacky jackrabbit.
Absolutely, that would have been plenty. Yeah. You've got the hero and the sidekick. Hang on just one second, I'm looking up to see who played it. We looked it up and you were right. It was
she was the sprouty cow.
Roseanne Barr and Judi Dench and Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, but Rosie O'Donnell was in Tarzan. So
yeah, she was the little gray gorilla, right?
Yeah, so she got to wreck that one.
Uh-huh. Oh, God, she got to wreck that one. Jesus. So, but this is a cool song that you're about to play. It's the evil villain, the cowboy villain.
Yeah,
song.
I mean, the villain actually was a lot of fun in this. He was this big, egotistical, yodeling bad guy, a cattle rustler.
Mm-hmm.
And his song is actually a pretty good villain introduction song, especially for such a comic character.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Here he is, yodeling his heart out. Alameda Slim.
Now listen up. There are crooks in this here West who have claimed to be the best, and they think they wrote the book on how to rustle. Well, as good as they may be, not a one's as good as me, and I barely have to move a single muscle. They call me mean, boys, depraved and nasty too, and they ain't seen, boys, the cruelest thing I do. You see, I'm your little idle idler, the sweetest way of rustling yet devised, 'cause when I your little
drives and doggies well,
which ain't easy when your chaps are labeled XXXXL.
Yes, if you're looking from a bovine point of view, I sure can yodel a little idle, a little idle, on your little idle.
Here we go, boys! 5,000 cattle in the side pocket!
Yodeling, 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 yod
Next up is possibly one of my favorite Disney songs. Riders on the Sky did this at our wedding, and I loved it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a big favorite of ours. From Melody Time, Blue Shadows on the Trail.
Shades of night are falling as the wind begins to die, and the world is silhouetted against the sky. Blue shadows on the trail.
This is kind of a weirdie, a short little clip from an hour-long show that Disney did in the early 60s, which examines the contentious relationship between man and the coyote. He did this as it was an hour-long show called The Coyote's Lament, and he strung several Pluto cartoons with Pluto being a sheepdog and fighting off some coyotes, along with these coyotes sitting out in the brush and kind of growling to themselves about how man's wrecked about just about everything. This had a big effect on me, and I think this may have been in the back of my mind when I was coming up with some of the Mutant Texas characters.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Ever since he got himself civilized, he don't know when to hush up. No, it's just awful. Man spoiled him like everything else.
Yip, 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 yow!
Now,
yip, yip, yip,
yip. Yip, 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 yip. Oh, we once had a home where we just loved to roam and hunt rabbits and squirrels all day. Then man moved west and did his darn best
to chase all our fiddles away.
He built corrals and pens for the lambs and the hens, and he fenced in the open prairie. There is no doubt, if he's crowding the south, if he's making life plain misery.
Hip, 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 yow, hip, 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 yay.
We howl all night and we prowl all day.
Hip, 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 yow, hip, 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 yay. You made our life plain misery. Howl.
We can't have any kind of Western without covering our favorite fox.
Yes.
Not Brer Fox. Zorro.
Zorro.
Yeah. A fox so cunning and free.
Zorro, he fights this sign with the Z.
God, we spent many, many nights watching these with both our old dear friend Mark Nelson. We love to watch the serials.
Uh-huh.
But also...
with Worf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hootie.
Our first Boston. And this song is not the theme song. Everybody knows the theme song. Everybody knows the theme song. But occasionally they would give Don Diego little numbers to sing, and they would just sort of add to the fun. And in this one, the evil Capitan Monasterio has been deposed, and Sergeant Garcia, well-meaning but bumbling Sergeant Garcia, is filling in as the temporary commandante. And he fantasizes about how wonderful it would be if he got the job permanently. And Don Diego sings him a little song. And as you're watching this on screen, it's great because there's a scene where he actually captures Zorro and brings him by Don Diego. And it's all in Garcia's imagination because he has no idea these two guys could ever be connected.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is, the great commandante.
You would no doubt win a promotion.
You think maybe I might become new Comandante of Los Angeles, perhaps?
Comandante of Los Angeles.
Sergeant Garcia, amigo, I see your muscles are mighty and strong. A great Comandante you surely would be. But that's not the end of my song. A great Comandante, a man of renown, with an air of distinction and style. The wicked will pale at the sight of your frown, and the good will rejoice at your smile. When your Comandante with splendid mustache and a devilish gleam in your eye, the ladies will thrill at your glitter and dash, and swoon as they watch you go by. When you're Comandante, you ride a white horse as fast as an eagle in flight, and you will chase Zorro and catch him, of course, while everyone cheers with delight. So Zorro is brought to a horrible end by our heroes so daring and strong. Our new Comandante Garcia, my friend. And that is the end of my song.
So you got some weirdies up next, eh?
Yeah, I thought it would be fun to round things out by getting back to pure cartoon and just doing some screwball stuff to close
The
show. And this was kind of one of the oddest pairings Disney ever did. A once-in-a-lifetime matchup between Donald Duck and Daffy Duck doing Hungarian Rhapsody from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
The lyrics from which are just... because of the way they talk.
Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of wisecrackers, but you are despicable.
Gone, stubborn wrecker. I did it.
This is the last time I work with someone with a speech impediment. This means war. Anybody understand what this duck is saying?
That was fun. I always love that part of the film.
It's a great one.
You know, I think it's a rite of passage for every cartoon character, especially if they were animated during the Golden Age, that they had to do something to Hungarian Rhapsody. Mm. Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, Fox and Crow, so many of them. Daffy Duck. They just released a short recently, where a brand new animated short, where he sings. It was an old Mel Blanc recording of him singing Hungarian Rhapsody. And I guess it because it has such a fun, playful, melody to it that it just is a natural for cartoons.
So now we're going to move on to cats, huh?
Yeah, I don't think the Cheshire Crap.
Cheshire Crap?
Cheshire Crap.
Wow.
Whoa. I don't think the Cheshire...
How do you really feel, Paul?
Well, no, I like the Cheshire Cat. I'm sorry. Just
I do, too.
Slurring his words. I guess I got a Cheshire Cat.
Because you're drunk throat. From the next one, which is Pink Elephants on Parade.
Oh, yes, yes.
Preview of coming attraction. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But first, before Paul gets drunk...
We're into them Pink Elephants. First, we've got the Cheshire Cat. And this is another cutout song, like Proud of Your Boy. It was a song called I'm Odd, because Walt felt the Cheshire Cat should have a little introductory song. And... explaining who he was and what he did, and once the picture was underway, Alice in Wonderland, they discovered, no, the Cheshire Cat doesn't need to be around any more than he has to. So
he's better just being weird.
Yeah, he's just
that's
just
a great
being
song
weird.
Though.
Yep.
Anyway, enjoy. I'm Odd.
My head begins to jingle most every time I nod, 'cause obviously, quite obviously, I'm odd. Each Christmas I go fishing to catch a Christmas cod, 'cause obviously, quite obviously, I'm odd. When I was just a kitten, they said I'd be a gem, but now that I'm a Cheshire Cat, it's odd how odd I am. I own a feather pillow, but I slumber on the sod, 'cause obviously, quite obviously, I'm odd. Just a kitten, they said I'd be a gem, but now that I'm a Cheshire Cat, it's odd how odd I am. Most cats have handsome whiskers, but me, I've got a beard, 'cause obviously, quite obviously, I'm weird.
All right, now you can get drunk.
Now bring on the Pink Elephants.
Drunky time.
Here they
I've
are.
Actually been thinking about doing a multiplying bottles routine as Princess Magic to this song.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, it might be. It might not be good at all. I don't know. I haven't played with it, really. But it's appropriate. So here's the one that we promised a moment ago. Pink Elephants on Parade, the classic number from Dumbo.
They're walking around on their head around the bed.
I'm a fun parade.
Hey, 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 hey. As we open with Fun and Fancy Free, I think it's only fitting we wind down the hour with another one from it. And here again, another return by Louis Prima, this time from the 40s.
With a very good piece of advice.
Yes. When a bear falls in love, they say it with a slap. So let's say it with a slap. And here we go.
Yeah, let's do that.
When a bird loves a bird, he can twitter. When a puppy falls in love, he can yap. Every pigeon likes to coo when he says, I love you. But a bear likes to say it with a slap. When a whippoorwill's in love, he can whipper. All the horses neck and all the turtles snap. Every deer and every dove has a way of making love. But a bear likes to say it with a slap. You can ask any bear, oh, there's nothing to compare with the love tap strong or weak. So if you're ready for romance and you ever get the chance, grab your girl and give her your cheek. So when love comes along, don't be silly. Never ever waste your time like a sap. Let the others hug and kiss, but the bare facts are this, that a bear likes to say it with a slap, slap, slap.
Call it love when she hits you. Call it love with a slap when she says, be true, I love you. She says it with a tap, slap, slap. When a whippoorwill's in love, he can whip her. All the horse's neck and all the turtle's snap.
Every deer and every dove has a way of making love.
You can ask any bear, oh, there's nothing to compare with the love that's strong or weak.
So if you're ready for romance and you ever get the chance,
grab your girl and give her your cheek.
Whee!
So when love comes along, don't be silly.
Whee!
Never ever waste your time like a sap. Let the others hug and kiss, but the bare facts are this,
that a bear likes to say it with a slap, slap, slap.
That a bear likes to say it with a slap.
Well, that's the end of our Disney obscure Easter egg hunt. We're going to head out of here and get some Easter lamb if my brother Steven hasn't eaten it all.
Hey now!
So we're going to leave you with a fond farewell song from The Great Mouse Detective. This is the great Vincent Price sings this to Winnie as he makes his exit, believing he has seen the last of the brave Basil of Baker Street. We're huge Sherlock Holmes fans, so it also is fitting to go out on this. Goodbye so soon.
Goodbye so soon, and isn't this a crime? We know by now that time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon, you'll find your separate way. Time's so short, I'll say so long and go so soon, goodbye. You
followed me, I followed you. We were like each other's shadows for a while. Now as you see, this game is through. So although it hurts, I'll try to smile as I say goodbye so soon. And isn't this a crime? We know by now the time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon. You'll find your separate way. I'm so short, I'll say so long and go so soon. Goodbye. Followed me, I followed you. We were like each other's shadows for a while. Now as you see, this game is through. So although it hurts, I'll try to smile as I say goodbye so soon. And isn't this a crime? We know by now the time knows how to fly. So here's goodbye so soon. You'll find your separate way. With time so short, I'll say so long and go so soon. Goodbye.
Okay, I'll put an egg right here back of the TV set. Ow! Rashy, I put my hand in a rat trap. What'd you do?
Well, I set it for Peter Cottontail. I figured if he was coming in with candy, if I could catch him by the foot, I might be able to get some extra.
I don't know. I've got three broken fingers now. You're not going to get any extra out of me.
Oh, yeah, I will when I crunch them down and demand $5. You're not laughing now.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.
He doesn't look like he's moving.
No. Well, that's too bad. Where's his basket?